Hello, listeners, and welcome to yet another episode of the Sphera Talk Radio. My name is Dora. I'm the owner of the Sphera Power Yoga Studio, and I teach mindfulness classes and stress and resiliency as well as yoga. And here we have Larry. Larry, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Dr. Larry Silver. I'm a chiropractor. I've been a chiropractor for almost 30 years, I guess. 25 years and practicing in Washington. I also do functional medicine, which is nutrition and lifestyle coaching. And yeah, and I'm teaching some yoga classes now. I did Dora's teacher training in a couple of years now, and just loved it. Needed to incorporate that in my life and work on my recovery and healing.
Yeah. Well, I know that you are a great enthusiast of CrossFit and golf. And I remember when you first walked into my yoga class, I'm like, wow, this guy really is needing a little bit of stretching, right?
Oh my God, yeah.
Can you kind of talk about how you balance out your athletics with yoga maybe?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been an exercise enthusiast and, you know, kind of competitive, push myself pretty hard. I do a lot of different things, pretty much anything you can think of. I'll try it. I'll do it. And but I would say, you know, the CrossFit and the weights, you know, I'm probably a little bit addictive, you know, in that realm. You know, I don't really I wasn't at the time, say, really working very much on recovery and being conscious of mobility and stuff like that. I would just kind of go out and do a little warm up and then just do my workouts. And, you know, so I developed some injuries certainly over time, shoulders really not great. My back I've had issues with and stuff like that. Even as a chiropractor, I know bad back. It's a very funny. Everybody always gets a good laugh out of that. But you know, definitely some restrictions, and I continue to kind of work out through them really and not take the time to do the recovery. But, you know, I've always had the thought that eventually I would just give up the weights and everything else and just do yoga every day, because I know that when I do yoga, it balances me out side to side. It gives me some, you know, more flexibility, twists and stuff, moves in ways that, you know, wouldn't normally take an hour out of my day to do that kind of stretching. And because time is limited, and if I have an hour, I'd rather go throw around some weights sometimes, yeah. You know, and get, you know, get that dopamine hit and that, you know, that endorphin hit, you know, which you get in yoga too. But, you know, now that I've done the class and I see all the different lifestyle pieces of it, now it's, you know, it's so similar to the functional medicine and all that. I really see, you know, the value of it. So now I try and get it into my week, you know, at least two or three times a week, and, you know, be able to share my experience and knowledge of the spine and my hips. Oh my God, my hips are just so tight. But it's great to be able to do, you know, all the child's pose and all the different, you know, relaxation poses where I could really go deep into those stretches. And then I've been able to help my patients a lot by recommending different yoga poses.
Yeah,
for sure.
I know that one of the, you know, one of the things that as a yoga teacher, you constantly get, you know, you meet someone on the airplane. Hey, what do you do? What do you do? I'm a yoga teacher. And the first response is, well, I can't touch my toes. Right?
Yeah.
I can't touch my toes. And I know
or I really need to do yoga. I need to do more yoga. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know that now you're teaching yoga, but I know you still cannot touch your toes, you know?
No, I can touch my toes. You got my toes?
Okay. But my answer is usually like, hey, bend your knees. It's not a big deal, right? It's not like what we're looking for is functional mobility, not hyperflexibility. And you definitely don't want to get into a zone of flexibility that your strength cannot support, right?
Right.
What are the few poses or movement that you recommend for, you know, especially guys and gals who love their power sports? They love their hiking, running, weightlifting, and maybe a little bit skeptical about slowing down and doing more of a, you know, yoga style stretches. What are the few poses that you absolutely incorporated into, you know, your work as a chiropractor as well?
Well, I mean, so there's two questions there, or two different avenues of answers there, because one is about what I recommend to the, you know, from my patients, you know, in terms of helping them correct their posture and imbalances. And then, you know, what would I recommend to, you know, what would I do for a CrossFit group? You know, they're similar but different. So, you know, with the CrossFit people, you definitely have to open up the chest and, you know, the shoulders, and really work on cueing the shoulders down, shoulder blades pinching together, tailbone tucked under. So, you know, the chair pose, obviously, the downward dog is one of my favorites for balancing side to side. Any of the twists are super valuable, just because the upper thoracic area is so bound up in people today because of the technique, looking at the phones, the computer, everything we do is in inflection. You know, we drive, we eat, everything we do is with our hands forward. And so getting the hands back more, twisting more, you got to open that upper thoracic. So, you know, I like any of the chair twists or the crescent lunge twists, super valuable. I love going from plank to side plank and back again, super valuable there. And then anything where you're bent over and keeping your back flat, which is pretty much we do a million times when you're like, okay, halfway lift and hold that. Or, you know, if you're doing a, you know, from a starfish down to a bent over pose, or a pyramid pose where your hands are on your hips and both legs are straight. So everything for loosening up the hamstrings, loosening up the low back, you got to increase mobility in the thoracic spine and the hips. Because the thing people think about, you know, I know PTs talk about this, but each joint, the way we're stacked, you have some joints that have to be stable and strong and other joints that have to be mobile. So like the knees are stable, the hips are mobile, the low back is stable. Well, if you can't squat very well and you don't have that mobility in your hips, it's going to move, and you're lifting weights overhead, it's going to go right into your low back or your upper back, and you're going to injure yourself. And I've done that so many times, trying to do like an overhead squat with both arms overhead and weighted, and not have a, you know, super, you know, low squat. And then just, if it gets heavy, it just goes right into my low back and I'll be sore for a couple of days. So, you know, that's not good. But spinal twists help with that low back stuff. Turning the upper body helps with that thoracic mobility. Those are just the key postures. Even the, you know, the up dog is one of my favorites, you know, for getting the back and the shoulders, and just anything where your hands are up, even if it's, you know, like a warrior one, you know, you really have to focus on shoulders down in the sockets, which is you want to do with weights. Also, if you're doing kettlebells or overhead lifts, you don't want your shoulders up by your ears, you know, you want them kind of down in their socket. That's where they're going to be strongest. So
people overuse this upper trapezoid a whole
lot. All the time. And that's where people carry their stress. So you really got to focus. And you talk about that a lot, because that's probably one of your things too. Just shoulders down, shoulder blades together, and just, you know, lats and everything, just, you know, compact. But for, you know, one of the things I do with, the big thing I do with the chiropractic patients is I look at posture a lot. And one of the most common postures we see, again, due to the technique and the forward flexion and whiplash, or just bad posture and too many pillows and lying in bed reading and all this stuff, you know, is a forward head posture. So the forward head posture is, your head's forward. And every inch forward of it should be, your ears should be over your shoulder. So if every inch forward, it's an extra 10 pounds of weight on your head. Your skull should weigh about 12 to 15 to 18 pounds, but it's like a bowling ball. If you keep a bowling ball close to your body, you can hold it all day. But as soon as you start moving it away from your body, it gets heavier and heavier until you can't hold it anymore. So it's the same thing with your head. So when your head moves forward, then your shoulders move back, and then your hips move forward. So you're in this kind of like a question mark posture, right? The best fix for that is the chair pose, where you bring your hips back, your shoulders forward, pull your head back, and you have your arms up and shoulders down.
Yeah.
So, you know, we teach that in class all day, and, you know, other arm opening poses and shoulders down. And those are the things that help to restore the normal posture. But you have to do something, you know, to bring your shoulders back and strengthen those to counterbalance the, you know, the effects of poor posture every day.
And I think that is really the essence of yoga, is that you just slow down things enough that you can notice where the body is overused. Because I always joke that the body is just super lazy, right? Whatever it got used to doing, it will just keep doing it. And even in these poses where I see a student doing a crescent lunge, I see that the mobility will come from that harmful place that's already over mobile. And then the thoracic is not really moving. They're just moving other parts like the low back or the neck, right?
Right.
But this is where awareness and actually teaching the students to feel what they're doing. In some ways, that's why chiropractic work and yoga goes hand in hand so well, because you're re-teaching the student's mind of like, okay, how about you use a different part of your body, even though it feels more awkward and difficult, just because you're not used to it, right? And that's the path of healing.
Yeah, and I say, I mean, yeah, that awareness is the first step. And so that's a big thing I teach in chiropractic with my patients is, you know, that you become more self-aware, and your body is always talking to you. But we're not listening because we're so busy. You know, if you're gardening, I hear this every spring, you know, people have been gardening and then they can't walk and they show up Monday and I'm like, so sorry, I can't move. Well, you know, you were missing signals all along those 3 hours that were telling you to sit up, stand up, walk, change position, move, and you ignore them. So now you're paying the price. But people will always come in after a few weeks and they're like, yeah, you know, I could feel more quickly when I'm sitting there that I need to change my position or I need to move or do something different. That self-awareness is definitely the first step. Another thing I would say that's super important in that yoga and chiropractic share is the breath, is the breathing. You know, I know you did a whole episode on breathing and recommend that book by James Nestor, but it's just so important to get people to do some deep breathing. And we have that available right at our hands tool to shift us from, you know, from stress to relaxation, as simple as 3 or 5 cycle breath cycles.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, people have to learn that so they can deal with their anxiety and their stress. And I mean, yeah, it's just super important. And so if I get into a state where I'm in pain, generally when you're in pain, you're holding your breath and you're not breathing deeply. And so, you know, if I do a yoga class, I'm just going to feel so much better if I can, you know, sync up my breath and my movement and then the mindfulness like you teach. And like, I appreciate it so much when hearing that from you you put that, you have that mindfulness and really you're in control of your life, really. That's the best shot you have at controlling an uncontrollable world, is if you can, you only can change yourself and your reactions. You know, you can't change what happens in the world, but you can change how you react to it and what you choose to do. And functional medicine is about making those simple life choices, lifestyle choices of, you know, sleeping better and breathing or managing your stress. And then, you know, your diet, every bite you take is either, you know, making you healthier or less healthy. And then the exercise piece of it, you know, which doesn't have to be CrossFit. It could be yoga. It could be a balance. I mean, and you get super strong. I mean, you're super strong from, you know, CrossFit, and in a way it's different strength than I have, but in a way, you know, it's like, if I'm not flexible, well, I'm not going to do great in a wrestling match because, you know, I'm not flexible, even if I'm strong, whereas somebody who's fast or speedier, you know, or flexible can can, you know, can move around and be more functional.
Yeah.
So,
and I think that's the beauty that I think at the essence we have to teach, that acronym of RAIN. You gotta actually stop doing what you're doing for a second and recognize, right? Allow the sensations instead of suppressing it with alcohol or entertainment or whatever else that we do, right? You gotta recognize, allow, investigate what's going on, and then navigate to an outcome that's more productive, right? Yeah. And that's not the same as nurture. I know that sometimes that acronym is taught with the N ending in nurture, but I think nurturing often translates to further addictive behaviors, you know? Mm-hmm. Sometimes what is healing us is less comfortable. So I like to think of that N as navigate. And that's what you do when you're teaching how to recognize your body. So when you're gardening, you're like, wow, what am I feeling right now? So you're not so caught up in doing something that you override the sensations and the messages that are coming to you in the present moment, right? And that whole gardening metaphor, just take it, you know, take it and run with it. It doesn't have to be gardening, but that's exactly what you can learn from good corrections in yoga and chiropractor and functioning medicine. It's all about recognizing and allowing and investigating and then navigating our behavior towards better platforms.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I love that. An acronym. Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah.
And especially in Seattle, right? Yeah. RAIN. So you shouldn't forget that one.
It's but. Not too hard. But in closing, I really just, I love that you were on a show, Larry, because I fight so much against that perception that yoga cannot be practiced by guys who are tight, who like weightlifting and so forth. Yeah. And I think you're a shining metaphor for exactly why yoga is beneficial for people who really enjoy their power sports.
Yeah. And again, a plug for your teacher training. I mean, the teacher training really showed me, obviously, there's the perception that yoga is just that, you know, the movement piece, the exercise piece. And well, if it's not, you're thinking, oh, it's not enough somehow. But, you know, really, when you put it together with the whole lifestyle, you know, with the breathing, with the, you know, just the taking care of yourself, the self-care piece of it. I mean, it's been around for thousands of years, you know, for a reason. It's worth investigating. And, you know, and there's been in history plenty of, you know, I mean, people like Bikram, you know, who were weightlifters and then became famous yogis and other people. I mean, it's so beneficial. And it's seeping into, you know, the CrossFit community a lot. I think it's just, so valuable, yeah. You know, the flexibility, the mobility, and it's going to help your workouts if that's really where you're at, or it's going to help your stress if that's really where you're at, or, you know, just give you tools for that self-awareness that's going to allow you to go deeper and find your, you know, there are things you have to stop doing and things you have to add in. That's the functional medicine piece. So, you know, yoga is, it fits the exercise, the stress management, the, you know, and then if you look deeper into the lifestyle, it tells you about diet, cleansing your mind and your, you know, body. And, you know, there's just a ton there.
Yeah.
And well, thank you for, you know, introducing me to the deeper aspects.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a joy to stretch the body. And that's why we are doing it. It's not a performance. You don't have to be able to touch your toes. You don't have to be flexible. It's just a joy to stretch the body.
Right. But on the same, you know, token though, flexibility in the body is flexibility in the body mind.
Yeah.
Right. So as people age and become less flexible, they become kind of stubborn and set in their ways. It's not separate. The body mind, it's one piece. All the connective tissue in your body is one piece. You know, you hurt your shoulder, it's going to show up in yeah. your hip. It's all one piece. And there's nothing that I've seen like that stretches every little bit, every corner of the fascia of the body like yoga does. And so, you know, that's why basically you come up with a new stretch, it's already been there in yoga for thousands of years. So, you know, it's like it moves every part of your body and strengthens every part of your body. And then with the breath, it, you know, get it into every part of the body, and that the consciousness is just expanding. It's great.
Well, thank you so much, Larry, for giving a point of view from a chiropractor and functional medicine doc. And have a lovely day. Thank you for being on.
Yeah. Thank you. May we see better times.
Yeah, for certainly so.
Soon. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.